Turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter number 17 today. The book of Exodus, chapter number 17. And we're going to read this whole chapter here this morning. And I have the title for the message, if you want this. It's called Heavy Hands. Heavy Hands. And you'll begin to see why I came up with this as we go through Scripture. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with you the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Then came Amalek, and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose out men and go out, and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Ur stood up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it into the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar, and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, Because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let's seek God in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, again, we are grateful that we're able to gather here this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to speak to our hearts. Lord, as I pray this morning in Sunday school, I pray that you'd give me wisdom from your word. Guide me through your word. Lord, I pray for anybody here this morning. Lord, whether they're here for a struggling relationship with you, whether they're here for salvation, or Lord, even maybe church membership, Lord, I pray that you just begin to speak to the hearts. Lord, again, I pray that you be with Pastor and Mrs. Springer. Continue to give them the strength that they need to have to get through every single day. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Before I go on, I just want to say it is good to see Marvin here this morning. He's had a surgery here a couple weeks ago for his back. If they did not get it done at that time, he would have been paralyzed probably for the rest of his life. So thank God for the wisdom of the doctors to get him in there as quickly as possible. So it is good to see you here this morning. So that being said, we are going to be dealing this morning with heavy hands. When you find yourself in any type of a leadership role, you will quickly find out that you will face many challenges in life. And it doesn't matter if it's in the world of leading a family, because I believe that's the most important role. The most important part of being a leader is the family. And then you can take that down to the corporation where you might work. You have bosses above you. And then you can take that even to the church where you have leaders in the church. Then on you can take that to the presidency of the United States. No matter where you're at in life, as a leader, you will face problems. You'll face many obstacles along the way. And with that being said, because you will have problems, normally you'll have people that are behind those problems. That's just what normally takes place. And that's not talking bad about people, that's just normally what happens. So with that being said, the hands of a leader are heavy. They're heavy. They will deal with issues of maybe at times letting someone go from a job. It might come down to one of those decisions. They'll have to do some budget cutting at the end of the year to go to the next year. And they will have to begin to analyze some things. And they'll have to say, you know, I got to let so-and-so go. And so they would have to deal with those issues of cutting someone from their job. Or they're going to have to deal with other issues of maybe providing comfort to those who have gone through some great loss throughout the year. The hats that leaders wear, they're many. They're many hats. And it takes a leader of great courage. It takes a leader of great compassion. And it takes a leader as well to have a desire to serve others. Most people don't realize this, but a leader is one who serves others. You'll really see that in the role of the presidency, where they take that role and they begin to serve the people of the United States. That's what it's supposed to be. Anybody in the government position, whether it's from the Senate to the Congress, down to the city councils, they are in those jobs to serve the people. They're not in those jobs to serve themselves. They're in the jobs to serve the people. You also begin to see that take place greatly in a church. A pastor who will go through a great deal of training. And they do this for this reason, to serve the people. They have a great desire to do these things. Even in the family, the desire of the husband should be to serve his family. So when a nation faces great difficulty, often the commander-in-chief will have to deal with issues that could be life-changing to Americans. And we've seen that many times throughout our history. Presidents dealing with life-changing things. One of my memories, as I go back in my mind, is that of the Gulf War. I was just a teenager at that time, 16, 17 years of age. And I remember when that began to take place. I remember being able to look upon the television and being able to see the rockets taken off, begin to do the damage that they're acquired to do. I began to see troops flying into the Gulf. I began to see troops landing in the desert as well, doing the job that they need to do. Not only to bring protection to us, but to bring protection to the people that needed it at that time. And that's what Americans do. And I thank God that we still live in the United States of America. Whether you agree with our leader or not, we still live in the United States. Let me say this. It's not even in my notes. You need to pray for all of our leaders. We're not always going to agree with them. We're not always going to like what they do, but we need to pray for them. That's our job. We're required to do those things. So I remember these things as a young man. I remember very specifically our president at the time, George Bush Sr., had to tell the nation, as he came upon television, he had to tell the nation that we were at war. And we could, too, be attacked at any time. Now, thank God that we didn't face any attacks during that time. But I can remember being nervous. I can remember being scared. But a leader faces those obstacles in life. They face many great things. Years later, we did face an attack. We were attacked at our own land, and we had some severe consequences for those things. But a leader will have to take on challenges that you and I don't normally know what they go through on a daily basis. They will have heavy hands on many different occasions. Most leaders, when given the opportunity to lead, you ever notice this? They usually go in with dark hair. They do. They go in looking young. They go in with dark hair. And within months to maybe a year, they look old. They've aged. Their dark hair has turned to gray. And that's what happens. The stress that is involved in their lives on a daily basis, that's why that happens. They're under great, tremendous amounts of stress. And that comes from being a leader. And not everybody is cut out to be a leader. Not everybody is a leader. Most people are followers. The very few leaders. Moses, he had the opportunity to be a leader. Not just to any particular group of people, but he had an ability, the opportunity to be a leader to the Israelites. And he was able to lead them, think about this, for 40 years in the desert, or you can say the wilderness as well. 40 years I spent 2 days in the desert over there, and I guarantee you this, I don't want to spend 40 years wandering around in the desert over there. But Moses did those things. He was guided by a pillar of fire by night, and of course, he was under the direction, and he was under the leadership, and he was under the counsel of God Almighty himself. But despite having been led by God, Moses faced many challenges that would test his leadership. It would test his leadership. And he faced those things in life. No different than you and I. Our leadership gets tested every day. You know, if you have a job and you're a believer and no one else around you is a believer, do you realize that this morning you are a leader there? And your leadership is being tested? At this particular time that we meet up with Moses and Israel, they are facing a crisis. A crisis like no other. And you want to know what that crisis is? That crisis is a lack of water. Now, 4 or 5 years ago, we did not have a lack of water. We had an abundant supply of water as the Missouri River began to overflow in many different parts of this state and a few other states as well. We had an abundant supply of water. Now that we are kind of, you know, you think about this, we're kind of in a drought. We haven't really had the rain that we normally have. We haven't had the moisture from the snow this year that we normally have. And I can take you to some creeks, I can take you to some ponds, and I can even take you to the river where the water has receded drastically. Whereas once covered with water, you're now able to see the rocks, you're now able to see some of the sandbars that are there. But Moses was facing a crisis with water. And it was a crisis for this reason. Moses was leading somewhere around 2 million people. 2 million people were following him through the wilderness. And that means that he had 2 million people that were maybe constantly griping at him. And things of that nature. Some have a difficulty in leading only 2 people. But Moses didn't back down. He had 2 million people who had depended upon him for many different things in life. They depended upon him for shelter. They depended upon him for safety. They depended upon him for food. And now they're dependent upon him for water. See, a leader wears many different hats. But however was taking place at this point in time, Moses was up for the challenge. Moses was up for the challenge. But I can only imagine at times Moses questioning God. See, we don't see the dark times where Moses is all by himself. That's not recorded in Scripture of how maybe he probably questioned God. You don't always hear on many different occasions where I question God, where I doubt God, things that I keep to myself. And I believe Moses probably struggled with these things as well. But even despite that, he still desired to be a leader to these people. So as we continue on with this crisis of water that Moses faced with the Israelites, the body is designed to have water. We need water to live, plain and simple. It balances the internal temperature. It keeps our cells alive. See, water is essential to us. So there was a great need for the people of Israel to have water because without water, they could probably face death. A person can survive without water for about 3 days. After that, the body will begin to shut down. Organs will begin to collapse. And eventually, death will overtake the body. Chad, you're being a little bit graphic this morning. I want you to understand, we need water to survive. The Israelites knew that they needed water because they were afraid of dying at this point in time, or otherwise they would not have come to Moses. Moses, we need water. What are you going to do? How are you going to help us out in these areas? We're traveling through the wilderness. We're in the desert. It's hot. We need some water. One of the first things that they told us to do while we're over there is we're in the deserts for the time that we were. Drink plenty of fluids because the sun will take it out of you. If you don't drink the fluids, you'll become dehydrated. If you become dehydrated, you'll pass out. When you pass out, then you have 3 or 4 people trying to pick you up to revive you. You need water. The Israelites doubted the leadership of Moses. And then they begin to accuse him of bringing them to the desert to die alone. We read this in verse number 4 here. It says, Moses, he's talking to the Lord, it says, "And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." They were ready to take Moses out of the position of being a leader. They're ready to maybe find somebody else. They're ready to do away with his life because they feared for their lives for the lack of water. So they doubted his leadership. They accused him of bringing him to the desert to die along with their cattle. Now on top of that, they're being faced with a battle with Amalek. They're being faced with a battle. Moses had two crises on his hands. Lack of water, death. Now a battle with Amalek also means death. So he had two hands. His hands were full. I would say that the hands of Moses were heavy at this time. I believe his hands were heavy to the point where maybe he just wanted to rest. Go into a corner, not think about it, and just be left alone. But Moses wasn't a quitter. Moses was a leader. He probably felt at times as if he let everybody down. That happens when you're in a place of leadership. You let people down. Think about this. You lead 2 million people, you think you're going to make every person happy? It's impossible. Even a group of this size, you're not going to make everybody happy. You're going to let people down. And that probably weighed on him heavily. People complaining about him behind his back, in front of him as well. Possibly thinking about overthrowing him as their leader. The things that Moses went through, Moses' hands were heavy. Maybe if he's able to produce some water somehow, all will be forgotten. Hey, Moses, if you can just get us some water, we'll forgive you of this. Moses, if you can just bring a supply of water that we can all have some water, just to thirst our quench, we'll forget all about whatever you've done. We'll forgive you. But they're to the point right now, hey, we want to take his very life. For some reason, people are not so willing to forgive. What do we know about people? People hold grudges. People hold grudges. I'm going to say something this morning that I believe is very true. And I've learned this to be very true in my life. Write this down, please. Forgiveness. Forgiveness can solve every situation in life. Forgiveness can solve every situation in life. For this reason, if Christ can forgive you, and we are to be like him, we should be forgiving to others as well. Not holding any grudges. Let me say it again. Forgiveness can solve every situation in life. And it's so true. I've had that pointed out to me in my own life. I have accusations come at me saying I'm bitter. I hold grudges towards people. Chad, you need to forgive. You need to forgive. You need to forgive. And I'll be honest with you. I didn't like it when people came at me and said I'm bitter. I didn't like it when people say I need to forgive. Because you know what that meant? That meant that I was wrong. That meant that I had some heart issues. Do you know what I had to do? Just like everybody else in here, I had to swallow my pride and I say, you know what, you're right. Forgiveness can solve every situation in life. I guarantee you that. So as we continue to move on, all they needed at this time was water. And in verse number 6, we see that God had provided for them water. Let's begin reading verse number 5. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Here's what took place. God's talking to Moses. Moses, come with me. I have a solution for you. Moses went with him. He went to the rock. God gave him another command. He said, Moses, smite the rock. And when you smite the rock, water's going to gush forth. And can I tell you, it just wasn't a little 5-ounce glass of water. How many people needed water? 2 million people plus. Not only did they need water, their livestock needed water. Do you think God supplied all of their needs? Not just one person? Go back to Sunday school. How many needs does God supply for you? All of them. He supplies all your needs. So 2 million people's thirst was quenched that day. Despite the heartache of Moses, Moses was faithful in serving God. A great leader, despite the consequences, despite the outcome, should always remain faithful in serving God. Even if his hands are heavy, even if his hands are full, the leader still needs to serve God. And because of his faithfulness to God, do you see this in verse number 5 and verse number 6? God was faithful to him. God was faithful to him. And God did what he said. He provided water. The hands of Moses were heavy. It continues to go on. A little while ago, I adverted to the fact that he was going to face war with Amalek. And now they're here. They have arrived upon this point. It says in verse number 8, it says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel. Moses' hands continued to get full. Now they are full with battle. Now they are even heavier. Now Moses is faced with protecting them from death at the hands of another. Thankfully, though, for Moses, he had three good men who stood by his side. Every leader needs good men by their side. Every single one of them. You cannot lead without having somebody by your side to encourage you, to be a help to you along the way. To say, no, I don't think that's a great decision, or yes, I think that's a fantastic decision. You need somebody by your side to help you along the way. So Moses, he had three good men. Who are they? One is Joshua. The other is Aaron, and the other is Hur. These men had an important role in the life of Moses. And that was this. They remained faithful, not only to the leadership of Moses, but they remained faithful to the leadership of God. Moses' hands were heavy. His men beside him saw that his hands were heavy, and they were going to stay by his side. Now, it would be easy to pick Moses apart. But what good would that do? That would cause division and chaos. You know, these three men probably didn't agree with Moses all the time, but they were by his side. They didn't go behind his back and begin to say this, that, and the other thing. They remained faithful. You know what was being done? They said, you know, instead of being the problem, we're going to help be the solution. You know, so many times people nitpick here and there, complain about this, complain about that. Instead of complaining, how about you be a part of the solution instead of the problem? Amen? So I believe Moses had three men who were like this. Don't ever knock the individual if you've never walked in their shoes. Don't ever knock that individual. Nobody knows what you go through on a daily basis. Don't knock that individual unless you've walked in their shoes. We have a problem today with young people. And don't take this the wrong way. And I'm talking young people younger than me. They have yet to face the battles of most older people. But yet they think they have the privilege and the right to criticize their every move. To where they put their dishes, to how they feed their dogs, and how they cook the food. Things of that nature. Don't criticize somebody unless you've walked in their shoes. You know, we got some people around here who can't get around good physically. I can't criticize them because I have yet to walk in their shoes. I can't say, you need to be doing it this way. I have no idea. I'm not in their shoes. But we think we have the right to criticize people. As I said before, be a part of the solution instead of the problem. They too have heavy hands. And here's a lesson I hope that you can learn from Scripture. Moses had heavy hands. Let's begin reading again. Let's pick up in verse number 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him. He told Joshua to go up to the hill. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And when it came to pass, when Moses held up his hands, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. So here's the picture here. Here's Moses. His hands are up. His hands are up. And as they're up, Israel's winning. Israel's prevailing. Israel's having no problem conquering Amalek. And then as his hands begin to tire and begin to become heavy and heavier and heavier and they begin to drop and drop, here's what took place. Amalek began to prevail over Israel. Aaron and Ur, they saw what the struggle that Moses was having, and they quickly ran to his side and they held up his hands. And as he held up his hands, Amalek no longer prevailed, but Israel did. Moses had heavy hands, but here were three men that stood by him. One went to go fight on the hill. The other two stayed with him. They didn't become critical. They didn't become complainative. Hey, why aren't I on the hill? Why am I back here with you, Moses? They weren't doing those things. Instead, we see a beautiful thing begin to happen. When his hands were up high, the Israelites prevailed. Down, Amalek prevailed. But here's what you see in verse number 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, the one on the other side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. They helped Moses during this time to become a successful leader. You don't become successful without the people behind you. We need each other. We need to be the ones to lift up the hands that have become heavy from leading. Leaders need help along the way. And good leaders will accept that help when it is given. Good leaders will accept that help. When we work together, there isn't a task too hard for us to accomplish. It's when we work against each other when we will become defeated. Become a part of the solution instead of the problem. Heavy hands need lifted up. Heavy hands need praying for. Heavy hands need encouragement along the way. Heavy hands need you. Heavy hands need you. We need each other in here this morning, amen? And when we begin to lift each other up, we can accomplish so many things in life. Today we're dealing with a pastor who has heavy hands. Been in the ministry for 48 years. You say, oh, he should retire. No, he doesn't want to retire. He doesn't want to retire. He wants to keep going. But he has heavy hands. And now his hands have gotten heavier. And I got to say this before I close. I've seen something take place in our church that's just absolutely beautiful. We've had people volunteer to take him to Harlan for dialysis. We've had people volunteer, now that he's in Omaha, doing the same thing. We've had people help him out, getting him over the house. See, his hands have become heavier. And the greatest picture I see is a group of church, a church body, coming in together, say, hey, Pastor, we got your hands. We got your hands. Let us help you lift them up. What a beautiful picture that has been done in our church recently. And I don't know if you guys have seen this, but I've seen it. I'm watching it take place. And we can still continue to do those things. And it doesn't stop with Pastor. We have a group of people that need each other. Some people can't do things physically anymore. We can be a help to them, hold their hands up. That's what God's designed us to do. And I'm thankful that we live in a church or have a church that sees that. Sometimes we don't see things when we're inside the circle. We got to step out and take a look at things. And I appreciate that so much about you folks of Open Door Baptist Church. Lifting the heavy hands. What a beautiful picture. Aaron and Moses. They saw a problem. They saw what's taking place. Victory is when his hands are up. Defeat when his hands are down. I said, you know what? Hey, let's go in. Let's grab his hands. You know what took place? For years, Moses was training them to do the right thing. And it kicked in when it needed to be kicked in. For years, pastors trained us to do the right thing. And we need to kick it in when the time is right. Heavy hands. Heavy hands. As I close, I'm going to say this. Don't let your actions or reactions make the hands of the leader heavier. Amen? Don't let them become heavier. Be a part of the solution instead of